Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. We'd greatly appreciate you subscribing on here for instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Instagram at Words of the Wise podcast, on Twitter at Words of W podcast, or as we announced last week, you can now find us on Facebook at Words of the Wise podcast as well. Know someone wise in your life who'd be good for us to interview? Click the contact us button on Facebook to refer someone. Joining us this week for episode number 10, we have 93-year-old Eleanor Barrett. Known as BB to most, she has lived through some major world events and thus has accumulated a great deal of wisdom over the past 9 decades of her life. Here is BB.
Okay, hello there. I'm Eleanor Barrett, and I'm 93 years old. Live in Albany, Indiana all my life.
And what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Well, we had a lot of neighbors, and the neighbor kids all got together and played out in the yard. That was our day. We'd come in for lunch and go right back out.
Mm-hmm. How many siblings did you have?
I had two brothers. One I had, he passed away at 18 months old with pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
And then I had another brother, and we were very close, and he passed away at 86 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. How many years apart were you two?
5 years.
5 years. And you were the oldest, correct?
Right. I'm the old lady.
What was Albany like when you were a kid? Obviously, you were a kid during the Great Depression.
I was a Depression kid, yes. We went through the Depression. It was everybody kind of hunkered down, and everybody walked a lot. We didn't have cars, and a lot of people didn't even have a phone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's nothing like today.
Yeah. So since it was the Depression, like how did that impact your childhood, would you say? Like, did you recognize that America was dealing
with? No, I was 5 years old. And I remember going to my aunt, great aunt's. She would keep me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, we had a big house. And I had an aunt and her son live with us for a while. Then I had an uncle and his family live with us. And my mom had to stretch her food.
Yeah. I bet. Were you close with those people who were living with you?
Oh, yeah. We were all a close family.
Mm-hmm.
It just was.
What would you say is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, I don't know that I have a favorite. We lived close to the park, and I got to go play on the things in the park. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good thing.
What would you say is the greatest thing your parents taught you?
They taught me to tell the truth above all else, and I would get a spanking if I didn't tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad told me he would spank me for lying before anything else. So I learned early.
Yeah.
Julie?
Yeah, take your time. You can get a drink or whatever if you'd like.
Give me a drink.
Yeah, Haley was telling me how much you love Sprite.
Oh, yeah. I drank Coke. I started at 17 years old. Mm-hmm. A lady got me started on drinking Coke. I drank it till I was 80 years old. I drank a Coke every day till I was 80. And then when I had this heart spell, he told me to knock the Coke off and I could have all the Sprite I wanted.
So now
I'm now a Sprite girl.
I love it. I love pop too. I drink like probably 3 pops a day.
I drink 1. Used to drink 3, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. Did you have a job growing up?
When I was 16, you had to be 16 to get a permit to work. And I worked in the local drugstore, and it was called The Pack. Mm-hmm. And it was a kids' hangout also. So I worked there when I was 16. Then when I graduated, I worked the post office here. The guy, the postmaster, asked me to work there. I worked for 2 years there. Then I worked, I don't know that you've heard of it, Collegian Shop in Muncie?
No, I haven't.
It was a dress shop.
Okay.
Well, it was more than that. But anyway, and then I worked there a year, and I had to go back and forth to Muncie. So I come back to the post office.
What did the typical, like, Saturday night in high school look like for you?
Well, fortunately, my dad would let me have a car, the car, on Saturday night, and we'd buy 50 cents worth of gas, and we could drive up and down the streets on Saturday night. That was our Saturday, and then we'd go to the Pack, get us a Coke and a bag of potato chips. That was about it.
Nice. Did you go on any dates or anything?
Not at that point, I didn't. Us girls just hung out together.
Mm-hmm. And then with your girlfriends, didn't you start like a canasta club in high school?
Yeah, no. It was after we got out of high school.
Okay.
And these two sisters, Ruth and Nova, they each one decided they would ask four girls and we'd start a club. And that's how it started. Ruth asked her friends and Nova asked hers. And I happened to be one of the friends. So we started the canasta club. It lasted 30 years.
Wow.
But it was a fun one.
Isn't there a friend that you talk to every Sunday from high school?
No, she wasn't from high school. My husband, he and this guy grew up together. Well, Murray had picked me up from going, we walked about every place, but picked me up from coming home from work at the post office. And he asked me for a date. And then he said, you want a double date? Would you double date with Frank? And I said, oh, sure. But he said, he's asking a girl from Muncie for a date. We'll double date. And I said, oh, fine. Then he told me the girl was from Central. I said, okay, I'll go, but I'm not going to like her. And by golly, we have been friends for over 60 years.
Wow.
We call every Sunday night at 7:30, we call.
Wow.
And that's been a long time. They moved to Florida, and so then we started calling every Sunday night. So I did like her.
What do you say the key to that lasting friendship is?
I don't know. We just are alike. We both like to shop, and we would shop a lot. She didn't like to drive as well as I did. I love to drive. So we would go shopping a lot. We wouldn't buy anything. We didn't have any money, but we'd go look at things. Mm-hmm. And get always got us a Coke. And one time, they had a new car, and she wanted to go shopping. So we got to Muncie, and it was when you shopped uptown. And she stopped right in the middle of the road, stopped the car, jumped out. And I didn't know what was going on. She says, you park it. And so I had to park that new car.
That's funny. So you didn't go to college, right?
I did not go to college. I went to work up at the post office.
Yes.
And I was making more money than the girls were that was going to Muncie. So I stayed.
Yeah. So did you say that you met your husband at the post office? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah. I knew him. There's 4 years between. He's 4 years older than I was. Okay. So when I was in the eighth grade, he was a senior, and I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. And when I was working at the post office, he had just got home from service. And I was walking home, and he pulled up, asked me to want a ride. And I said, sure, and I rode it because I knew him. Mm-hmm. So he brought me home, asked me for a date. And that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And then our fathers worked in a tool room at McCormick's. Dad, he told Murray's dad that I had just split up with my boyfriend. Well, he goes home and tells Murray. So that's how it all started.
How old would you have been at that time?
I would have been, let's see, 17, 18.
Okay.
19.
And didn't Murray write a book about his experiences in World War II?
He did. He kept a diary. And in this diary, and he was funny. He'd tell funny things. But anyway, he told them just like it was. And he wasn't allowed to tell his parents where he was at. And he played the accordion. And this accordion had an Italian name. And he was in Italy. That's how they found out where he was. He couldn't tell where he was. He did that. And that's how they knew.
That's crazy. What was exactly your first date?
We went to a show, went to a movie. And that time we went to the Rivoli, it was called, uptown in Muncie.
Okay. And how long did you date?
Well, we met, we dated 2 years. Started dating in 47. We married in 49.
And how did he propose?
Well, we went to movies a lot. But we had gone to the show, come home, and he parked out in front. And we was just talking, chitty-chatting. And all of a sudden, he pulled out a ring. Huh? And asked me if I'd marry him. He said, I've already talked to your dad. And he'd already asked dad. And then my parents give us our blessings, and that was it. He was kind, and he was funny. He was all the things I liked. Mm-hmm. So that's how it all happened.
And then, when's your anniversary?
July the 26th.
So how many years were
30 years we was married.
Okay.
He was in an accident down here in front of the school and passed away. He had had open heart surgery 2 years before. So that was how that happened.
Wow. Weren't you married during a polio outbreak?
Yes, we were. You weren't allowed at that time. You weren't allowed to have a group of people too much. So you couldn't get married in a church. You couldn't have any gatherings. So what we decided, my folks had a big picture window. So we got married in front of that big picture window. And there wasn't more than 25 to 30 people, the most that was here. And Mom fixed up a reception real quick, and we got married in front of the window.
So does
then
that
we went on our honeymoon to the Smoky Mountains, come home, and it was real eerie as we was coming in town. There was only one car on the street uptown.
Oh, my.
And people, you just couldn't get out. It's a lot like today. I mean, you weren't allowed to get out.
Wow.
The only thing open was a drugstore and a grocery store.
Wow.
And that was it.
How long did that last?
Oh, golly, I don't know. It was like, what, maybe a couple years here, year and a half. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was eerie.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone that you know get polio?
Oh, yeah. I had a girlfriend that had polio, and then my son-in-law's brother got it.
Mm-hmm.
He had it. So, yeah, I knew people.
You and your husband built a home together.
We bought the lot and built a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And we made that into a three-room little apartment. Mm-hmm. And we lived there for, I think, 3 years. Anyway, we brought Jane home from the hospital. We had Jane when we lived in the garage. Mm-hmm. Then we built the big house, and we brought Julie home.
Yeah.
So that was how that happened. Pregnant when you build both of them.
How long did you live there?
We lived in the little house, I think. In the garage house, we lived there about a couple of years, three the most. And then we moved into the big house, we called it. So then we moved in there and lived there ever since.
Wow. So what's your favorite part about still living in that same house?
Well, I don't live there anymore. After I had a heart valve, the girls said I couldn't live by myself. So Julie lives by herself. And she said, Mom, you're coming over with me. So I've lived with Julie, but I still own the house.
Uh-huh.
The house that I'm living in now,
yeah,
where I grew up, Julie lives in my home place.
Oh.
And I moved here when I was 9 years old till I got married. And then I lived over there for 30 years. Now I'm back in the home place.
That's so cool. That's unheard of. Wow.
I'm back.
So you and your husband were married for how many years did you say again?
39.
39?
He passed away the night before our wedding anniversary. Oh, really? 39 years.
Do you mind me asking how you got through that experience of him passing?
Well, I worked at the Albany Library at the school. I worked there for 25 years. I was getting ready to retire and thought I would retire. Well, and he had his wreck. He passed away. And I thought, I can't do it. So I decided I'd stay on. It gave me something to get up for. And I wasn't going to stay in that house and not have anything. So I stayed at work, and I worked, and that got me through. I had to get up every morning and go to work, and I loved the children. So that's how I did it.
Yeah.
Before I retired, I stayed there and kept working, mm-hmm. and it pulled me through.
Yeah. What would you say is the key to a successful marriage? Because you were married for a long time before that.
You've got to respect one another, be kind, be patient, and you've got to communicate. You've got to talk. I think those are some of the things that get you through.
Mm-hmm. When did you start working at the Albany Library? When did you start that job?
In 71.
Okay. So how old would you have been?
Oh, golly. I probably was in my 30s, my late 30s.
Okay. Then how old were you when you had Jane?
I was 25 when I had Jane, 28 when I had Julie. Okay. I wanted to have my family by the time I was 30, and I was getting close. I had Julie at 28.
Okay. Do you have any specifically funny parenting stories?
Oh, the kids. When they get in trouble, we had a big picture window, had two chairs and a table in front of it. So whenever they got in trouble, they had to sit in those chairs and think about what they'd done. Well, they have told me recently that they didn't do that. The chairs rocked, and they would rock, and they'd get up and switch chairs. But I didn't know that till just lately. And when they went out, when they got older and was going out, I made sure they had money in their shoe. We didn't have the phones we have now, but they had to have money in their shoe that they could call home if they needed help. They never went out the door without money in their shoe.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they could call us anytime.
Yeah. How much was a phone call back then?
I think it was about a quarter.
Okay. What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Oh, we enjoyed them growing up, teaching them right from wrong, teaching them how to ride a bike. I mean, it was just the going through the different stages of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was fun, mm-hmm. but it was also work. But what main thing we got to them was to always tell the truth. They had to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how well that went, because we believed them. They'd say it was the truth. They were funny girls.
Uh-huh.
And one time, they were like twins, and I dressed them. We went on vacation, and I dressed them alike. And this one lady said, "How old are your twins? They're not twins." And so I took them to the beauty shop, had them cut their hair. The beautician cut their hair really short. Oh, it was short.
Really?
And the girls have never let me live that one down. They had short, short hair.
That's funny. So what parenting advice would you give to parents today?
Well, to make sure that they respect people as much as anything. They've got to respect people and be kind. Mm-hmm. I think respect is the biggest thing.
Yeah. Do you have any tips to raising daughters?
No. Like I say, any of them, they've just got to be respectful. The girls one time, they were fighting. They got to the stage where they could wear the same top blouses. And they got in a fight one time over a blouse. And their dad said, this is enough of this. And see, he made him go to the living room. And he said, one of you girls are going to get hurt, but you're going to fight it out. And he made him fight.
And who won?
He was run. Jane won.
Oh, man, Julie.
We had a lot of fun times in our family.
Uh-huh.
We were a close family. Didn't have a lot, but we had enough.
Mm-hmm. What would the Eleanor of today tell herself as a young wife and mother? So what would you tell you as a young wife and mother?
Be kind. Be kind to your kids, your husband. Mm-hmm. Work things out. But I think kindness is the biggest. Mm-hmm. You've got to be kind to people.
Yeah. So how did you get your job as a librarian? How did that start?
Well, this friend that I said no, or with Ruth,
mm-hmm.
and Ruth was a secretary at the high school. Nova was secretary at the elementary. Uh-huh. And I had just lost my mother, and they thought I needed to get busy. So they suggested my name to the principal. Come to find out, I had dated the principal. So I got called in. He called me one day, wanted to know if I'd be interested. And I said, sure. So then they called me to school. Then I had to go to the superintendent and be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got it.
Awesome. And what was your favorite part about working as a librarian?
The kids.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the kids. I loved little kids. Mm-hmm. And so seeing the kids, and I decorated the library every month with a different, whatever was going on that month, I decorated the library. And I changed pencils every month. And the kids looked forward to that. They'd always want to know what I was going to do.
Yeah. What was it like having your son-in-law as your boss?
Oh, that was a hoot. Well, he gave me no favors. I got no favors from him. It was just like I was a dean. I was part of the staff, and that was it. Mm-hmm. But what I told him, I said, I was here first. So you can be my boss from 8 to 3. But at 3 o'clock, I turn into mother-in-law again. And that's how we got through. That's the way we did it.
That's funny. So you've lived in Albany your whole life.
My whole life.
Yep. What's your favorite part about Albany?
The people.
Mm-hmm.
They're friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are real neighborly, kind.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a good neighborhood.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We had people who lived on both sides of us. They had no children. So they adopted my brother and I. So we, like, they would do things for us. They were just nice to us. So it was a good neighborhood.
Did you ever want to move away from Albany?
When I got mad at my husband, was not very much. I'm going to Colorado, but never did. So that's how we did that.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start going on vacations to Myrtle Beach?
The year that I lost my husband, the next year.
Okay.
On our anniversary time, Jane and Steve decided that I needed to get out of town. So they took Julie and I and went to Myrtle Beach. And I cried because I knew Murray would have loved it. Mm-hmm. But from then on, we went back every year at that time. And we went for several years. So that's how we got started going there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane and Steve now take their grandkids every year. Every other year, they go someplace every year, but every other year, they take them to Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a best memory from those vacations?
Well, while we were there, we went to the mall when it was getting ready to close. And you know those big cookie stores where they sell cookies?
Yeah.
Well, I bought a big, huge cookie, and we was going to take it back to the room. Well, we had to go upstairs, so we parked in the garage, and the kids ran out of the car right away and went up, and I, of course, I'm slower. I got out of the car, went to get out, and I fell. Set back down on the cookie. I crushed that cookie. And finally, I don't know, I think it was Jane, come back down to see what was the matter with me. And there I was. I had set on the cookie. And they still laugh about it. That's one of the biggest memories.
How many grandkids / great grandkids do you have?
I have 5 grandchildren and 9 great grandchildren.
Oh, wow. And they call you BB. So how did you get the name BB?
Well, I babysit with Haley. You know Haley.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I babysat with her. And she was just learning to talk. She couldn't say my name. It was everything but Eleanor. And she can, so we tried Barrett. She couldn't say that. She'd get it all mixed up. Finally, she called me B. It started out with a B, Grandma B. The next thing I knew was Grandma BB. So Haley gave me the name.
Oh,
Haley was the one that caused that. And it stuck. And now all the grandkids call me BB. Everybody calls me BB.
I love that. And also your great-grandson Chandler, he calls you a legend, right?
Yeah. Amy's kids, she told them how old I was, and they call me the legend. So I'm now the legend, BB the legend.
Pretty great name.
That's true.
Isn't it a tradition to have like flaming ice cream on New Year's Eve with your grandkids?
Oh, I've done that for years. On New Year's, Julie and I most generally babysit. We'd have all the grandkids. So one year I made the flaming ice cream. Well, that was a hit. They expected that every year we have to make flaming ice cream. That's part of New Year's. And what you do, you take a sugar cube, soak it in lemon extract, just pour in, and then you light it. And you light that ice, put that sugar cube on top of the ice cream, soak it in the lemon juice, and then light it, and it makes a flame.
Oh.
So that's how we make it every year. We have a flaming ice cream.
That's so fun. What's your favorite part about being a grandma?
Oh, I just love them all. They're all their own people. They're all different, but they're fun. Mm-hmm. They're a hoot.
As you look back on your life, who were the people who had the greatest impact on you or influenced you the most? What do you say?
My dad.
Your dad? And why do you say that?
Because he was strict. He made his mind, but he was funny also. So I'd say it was my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad and mom both. They worked hand in hand. Mm-hmm. They just did.
Yeah.
But I think dad was he was strict.
What do you have a favorite memory or favorite time period of your life?
Oh, I don't know that I do. When I got married, I guess.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Uh-huh. You've lived through a lot of major world events.
Oh, I have seen the toilets brought into the house. We used to have a John outside. I've seen water. We had a pump. Water's been brought outside, inside. I've seen the washing machine. We had an old dilapidated washing machine. And look what we got now.
Uh-huh.
Phones. We were on a party line of people. And today you got your own private phone. I can remember the time that they said, eventually we'll be able to see the people we talk to. And I thought that was a bunch of baloney. And look what we're doing today. So there's been a lots of things that we used to have an ice man, and you brought us a big chunk of ice to put in the refrigerator. Look what we got today.
Wow.
So I'm seeing a lot of changes.
And what do you think of the world today?
A mess. Plain and simple, it's a mess.
Yeah. What advice would you give to my generation?
Oh, golly. Back to kindness again. To be kind to one. This shooting of people, I don't agree. You've got to be kind to people. Mm-hmm. Be neighborly. I can't see this being shooting people. I do not like that. I guess back to kindness and respect.
Yeah.
Those two words are powerful.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
Back again to being kind. I think that's the key word. You've got to respect. You've got to respect one another. And this being hostile and mad, you've got to have, you can't do that. That's a no-no.
And what do you hope to be remembered by?
That I was a good mother and wife. I can't say as a good child. Good person, that I was a good wife and a good mother.
Yeah, that you were kind.
I was good. But I wasn't always good. When I was younger, I tried my parents. I can remember it. I would try my parents. I've got sent to bed. My brother and I got to laughing one day at the supper table. And it was just crazy kids stuff. And we couldn't stop laughing. Uh-huh. And so my dad made us get up from the table and go to our rooms. And we didn't get any supper that night. I remember that. And I think those are the things. You know Mike?
No, I don't.
Mike Hall. Well, he's Jane and Steve's youngest. They found out they couldn't have children. So they adopted a little boy. Oh. Cute as a bug. They got word that there was a little girl up for adoption. And they just got her. Oh. So they now have a boy and a girl. So I've got 10.
Oh, that's...
It makes our house full, but it's fun.
Yeah. I do have one more question. So do you get, done up every day? Do you get ready every day?
Yeah. Maybe won't get my clothes on till 4 o'clock, but they're on every day.
That's your makeup.
I put makeup on, and I put my earrings in every day.
Really?
You've got to keep going. I just think you need to get dressed every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you a time when we went to school and it was cold. I froze my hands when I was in the 3rd grade. And we walked to school. We didn't have school buses that were in town. The only way you rode a school bus was if you lived in the country. And it was a mile for some people to walk. But it wasn't that. For me, it was about 3 blocks, and I froze my hand. And we wanted to wear, when we got up in high school, we wanted to wear blue jeans. Blue jeans had just come into life, and we wanted to wear blue jeans. And they said, no, you can wear them to school, but you've got to, take them off when you get to school. You couldn't wear them in the classroom. And I can remember as a little girl, we had long cotton socks that you wore, and we had to wear them up high. When we'd get to school, we'd roll them down. So I've not always been, I've done a few things. And my dad told me I must have been 12, 13, 14 years old. I don't know, I was in my teens. And he told me I could not get in a car with a bunch of kids. So what I do? A block from home, I didn't think you could see me. So I got in the car. But he seen me. So he come and jerked me out of that car and brought me home. So I tried him.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. Thank you so much for doing this.
Well, you're entirely welcome.
I think Chandler's right. You're a legend.
Listen at you. Only 93, and I thought I'd be lucky if I lived to be 40.
Really?
Really. And here it is, 93.
Eleanor Barrett, although not thinking she would make it past 40, it is clear why the 93-year-old is referred to as the legend BB. Getting up and ready each morning and sharing the news to be kind to all. While she may be a small-town Albany woman, by taking her own advice, she is changing the world in the simplest way she can, one Sprite can and smile at a time.
We've got a screened-in porch, and I live on that screened-in porch.
Really?
Yep, I got a chair out there, and I sit out there a lot of days. And I get the girls got me a bird feeder, a fence feeder, and I watch the birds, the finches come in there. It's outside, it's right there.
You have a favorite bird that you like to see?
The yellow and red finches. Pink finches is what I watch the most. Well, it's been nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice meeting you too. I've heard so much about you, so. Haley talks
I hope it's good.
Oh, all good things.